Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Ron Ben Margarita, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Dorit Batsara, and Ruth Batsara, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Shifra Hoffman, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba, and Charles Zolat. We're going to be discussing the Taliban terrorist takeover of Afghanistan and the lessons we can learn from this really horrific scene that's going on over there. First of all, let's understand something. United States administrations have invested $88 billion, that's $88 billion with a B, to build the Afghan army in order to prevent a Taliban terrorist takeover. $88 billion. It's a huge investment. And thousands of American soldiers were killed, and tens of thousands were seriously injured over the years, over the past 20 years, in trying to stabilize and build Afghanistan and prepare Afghanistan for the day when American forces would withdraw, because the plan was never for the United States to permanently occupy Afghanistan and stay in Afghanistan for eternity. And so the Trump administration planned a withdrawal from Afghanistan and was negotiating with the Taliban terrorists in order to facilitate a withdrawal of American forces from Afghanistan. And the Biden administration just continued the Trump administration policy, which was to withdraw from Afghanistan. Both administrations had the same policy. The end result is an unbelievable disaster. Not only did the United States waste $88 billion in taxpayer money in Afghanistan, not only were thousands of American soldiers killed in Afghanistan during the past 20 years, but now the American advanced weaponry and sophisticated weaponry that was given to the Afghan army will go to the Taliban terrorists. They now inherit advanced American weaponry. And American training of Afghan soldiers now will be used to benefit the Taliban Muslim Nazi terrorists. And by the way, who are the Taliban Muslim Nazi terrorists? They are the ones who worked with Al-Qaeda to carry out the September 11th attacks. Remember, why was the United States in Afghanistan? Because Al-Qaeda operated out of Afghanistan together with the Taliban. Al-Qaeda and the Taliban worked together. They were partners in carrying out the 9/11 attacks. So the 9/11 attacks, in which 3,000 Americans were murdered in September of 2001, those attacks are what caused the United States to invade Afghanistan and occupy the country, basically, with American troops, and then maintain an American presence there, an American military and economic and trade presence there for the past 20 years. And now the very terrorists, the very Muslim Nazi terrorists who carried out 9/11 and who murdered 3,000 Americans are getting the most sophisticated American weapons that were handed over to the Afghan army, which collapsed overnight. Overnight, the Afghan army, that for 20 years was trained by the American military, for 20 years armed with the most sophisticated weapons, for 20 years, tens of billions of dollars invested, over $88 billion in the end, invested to build this Afghan army, and within 1 week, the entire Afghan army collapsed and surrendered, and the Taliban took over the whole country. The Taliban terrorists just took over the whole country. Within 1 week. This just demonstrates what JTF always said from the start. You know, JTF has been right from the start on all of these issues. It is insane to invest money and give weapons to Muslim soldiers and Muslim armies. The United States has given countless tens of billions of dollars to Muslim Nazi Egypt and Jordan and Saudi Arabia and these other Muslim countries. That is insanity. In the end, those weapons will be used against the United States and the West, and certainly against Israel. In the end, those weapons will be used against the non-Muslim infidels. Why did the Afghan army collapse? Because the Muslim soldiers in the Afghan army have no motivation to maintain a government that would be acceptable to the United States or the West. They support the Taliban. They agree with the Taliban. They are motivated by Islamic belief that all non-Muslims are infidels that have to be exterminated, that the entire world has to be conquered for Islam. They really believe that, including the Afghan soldiers who were trained by the United States. They also believe that. Do you realize that countless numbers of the American soldiers who were killed in the past 20 years in Afghanistan, hundreds of them, were killed by Afghan soldiers that were armed and trained by the United States government and by the United States military. The United States military would train them, and then American soldiers and Afghan soldiers would go on joint patrols in Afghanistan. And their partners on the patrol, the Afghan Muslim partners on the patrol, would then shoot and kill the American soldiers whom they were patrolling with. This happened over and over and over again. America never learned the lesson. And this is the same lesson for the sick, self-hating Judenrat Kapo Jews who run Israel. The Kapo Judenrat Jews who brought in the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat and 80,000 armed Muslim Nazi terrorists from the Fatah terrorist organization. They were brought in under the Oslo Accords. And that continued under Netanyahu and the Likud with the Y Accords, where Muslim terrorists were trained by the Israeli army and armed by the Israeli army and funded by the Israeli army to supposedly protect Israel and Jews from terrorism. The Muslim Nazi terrorists are going to protect Israel from terrorism. Israel took the most notorious, murderous terrorist organization that murdered more Jews than any other group since Nazi Germany during the Holocaust. And its leader, Yasser Arafat, the Arab Hitler, who murdered more Jews than anyone else, than any other monster since Adolf Hitler himself during the Holocaust. They took this terrorist organization, the PLO and Fatah, brought them into Israel and said, now we're going to arm you, we're going to fund you, we're going to give you land, we're going to create a so-called Palestinian state, even though there are no Palestinians, there is no Palestine, it's a historical bluff and a fabrication and has no truth whatsoever. And Israeli leaders always told us there's no such thing as a Palestinian people and there is no Palestine. That's what Golda Meir and David Ben-Gurion and Menachem Begin always told us, because it was true. There was never a Palestinian people or a Palestine. This is a complete fabrication and a propaganda excuse to destroy Israel. But in any event, they took the Israeli army and the Israeli leaders and the Israeli establishment, who are evil traitors and self-hating Jewish cowards, they took Muslim terrorists, the most notorious Muslim terrorists, the most notorious mass-murdering Muslim terrorists, and armed them and trained them, and said, now you are going to guard us against Islamic terrorism. And it's just complete insanity. Those were the Oslo Accords, and Netanyahu promised to continue the Oslo Accords, which he did, and to this day the Oslo Accords are still in effect. And Netanyahu handed over 13% of Judea and Samaria, by the way, under the Y Agreement, to the PLO Fatah terrorists into Arafat. Netanyahu is the one who handed over 97% of Hebron, the city of our forefathers, the city where Meirat HaMachpelah, where the Cave of the Patriarchs is, where Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our patriarchs, are buried. The second holiest city in the world after Jerusalem, Hebron. He handed 97% of that over to the PLO Fatah terrorists and to Arafat. Netanyahu and the Likud, the phony right, because the phony right is worse than the left. The phony right winds up making more concessions and handing over more than the left. You know, the phony right in Israel is responsible for over 90% of the retreats from the land of Israel since the 1967 war. Over 90% of the land given up in Israel since the 1967 war was given up and surrendered to the Arabs under Likud, so-called right-wing governments, the phony right governments, not under openly left governments. The openly left governments, they want to retreat, they want to surrender, but they're unable to because the Israeli public and the Israeli people, when a left-wing prime minister proposes giving up land or proposes making concessions or proposes surrendering, the Israeli public becomes alarmed and the majority of Israelis say, no, you can't do that, we're not going to allow you to do that, and they're unable to carry out their left-wing policies. They do damage. The left-wing prime ministers and left-wing governments do damage. They do a lot of damage. But not as much as the phony right governments. Phony right governments do far more damage because they get away with it, because when someone like Netanyahu or the Likud or Arik Sharon, for instance, in Gush Katif, or Menachem Begin when he surrendered all of Sinai to Muslim Nazi Egypt, when phony right prime ministers make concessions, the vast majority of Israelis support them because they say it couldn't be that bad if Menachem Begin is proposing this, or if Benjamin Netanyahu is proposing this, or if Arik Sharon is proposing it, it couldn't be that bad. After all, these are right-wingers, these are Likud leaders, these are hawks. And so, the phony right is actually more dangerous than the left, because they're able to carry out their evil policies far more effectively than the left. And that's true in Israel, and sometimes that's true in the United States. We saw the George W. Bush, the terrible things he did, and, you know, his invasion of Afghanistan, which I believe should never have taken place. They should never have invaded Afghanistan. They should have bombed and bombed and bombed and destroyed everything in Afghanistan and not invade and not send in a single American soldier and not lose a single American soldier. And just bomb and just carpet bomb them and destroy everything in the country and destroy their infrastructure, destroy everything in the country. That's what should have been the retaliation for 9/11. Sending in American soldiers did no good whatsoever. And just thousands of American soldiers were killed in vain. $88 billion spent on training an Afghan army that will now hands over all of its weapons and all the training and all the things it got from the United States is now going to be used by the Taliban terrorists against the United States and against the West. So, they should not have gone in and invaded Afghanistan. They just should have carpet bombed them from the air. And instead of invading Iraq, which is the stupid, insane thing that George W. Bush did, and we were against that when 90% of the American people were supporting it, because right after 9/11 and everybody was, yes, yeah. Instead of invading Iraq, which did not have weapons of mass destruction, did not have weapons of mass destruction since America destroyed those weapons in the Persian Gulf War, and we said that, while the Bush administration kept insisting that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq under Saddam Hussein. Instead of invading Iraq, no Muslim country should have been invaded. No Muslim country should have been invaded. The United States should have destroyed Iran's weapons of mass destruction and Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. If the United States Air Force had destroyed Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, that would have created a safer world. And that could have been done in one day, in 24 hours, even less than 24 hours. The United States Air Force could have devastated and destroyed Iran's entire nuclear bomb-making program. And that is something that anyone who knows anything about the Middle East knows. That would have made the Middle East and the world a lot safer. And would not have cost any American lives, and would not have required any invasion or occupation force or tens of billions of dollars being invested. All of that could have been avoided. Rid the Middle East and rid these dictators of the possibility of weapons of mass destruction, make sure that they can never acquire or obtain weapons of mass destruction. That's the first thing you should do. And the second thing you should do is severely bomb and retaliate and destroy huge parts of their country if they allow their country to be used for terrorist attacks against the United States. That's what should be done. Never invade or occupy Muslim Nazi countries. That does not pay. That is a stupid policy. And never give U.S. foreign aid to Muslim Nazi countries. First of all, there shouldn't be U.S. foreign aid to anybody. U.S. foreign aid should be stopped immediately. Foreign aid is not an effective form of international relations for the United States or for any other country. Foreign aid, by the way, to Israel. If it was cut off, it would be the best thing for the Israeli economy. We did a program here, which you can see on our site. If you look back at our videos a few weeks ago, we did a program showing that even the New York Nazi Times had a front page article showing that U.S. foreign aid in total is barely 1% of Israel's economy. Maybe even less than 1%. At the most, U.S. foreign aid now is 1% of Israel's economy. It's true that 20, 30, 40 years ago, it was 10% of Israel's economy. It was a much larger chunk of Israel's economy. Even then, by the way, Israel could have become self-sufficient even then. But then, you know, it would have taken a few years of preparation, which Israeli leaders never did. But Israel could have become self-sufficient pretty quickly, even then. But now, when it's at most 1% of Israel's economy, Israel overnight can not only become self-sufficient, Israel will be far stronger militarily, economically, socially, politically, in every respect, without so-called U.S. foreign aid. Cutting off U.S. foreign aid to Israel is the best favor you could do for Israel. All the anti-Semites always say, foreign aid to Israel, foreign aid to Israel. They don't realize that if we cut off foreign aid to Israel, that's the best thing you could do for Israel. All U.S. foreign aid should end. To Israel, to Muslim Nazi countries, to all countries. There should never be any U.S. foreign aid anymore. Now, the lesson to be learned here again is that giving foreign aid to Muslim Nazi countries is insane. Giving weapons to Muslim Nazi countries is insane. Those weapons, in the end, will be used against the United States eventually. Deploying U.S. troops to occupy, invade, or be stationed in Muslim countries is also insane. There is no need for that. Sometimes there's a need from the air for the United States to bomb and destroy weapons of mass destruction, like nuclear programs. Nuclear bomb-making programs, as the Israeli Air Force did against Saddam Hussein in 1981. And the United States condemned Israel for that, by the way. When Israel bombed, in 1981, bombed and destroyed Iraq's nuclear bomb-making program, their nuclear bomb-making facility, and completely destroyed it, the United States condemned Israel. And that was under Saddam Hussein that Israel did that. And the United States defended Saddam Hussein in 1981, Vice President George H.W. Bush, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may his name and memory be obliterated, that evil animal, he condemned Israel in 1981 for doing that. And of course, the New York Nazi Times, the media, they all condemned Israel. How dare Israel destroy Saddam Hussein's nuclear bomb-making program? But the U.S. Air Force and the Israeli Air Force, they should be used to destroy programs that involve weapons of mass destruction that could lead to the murder of millions of people. That you never want to let them get their hands. You never want to let these Muslim terrorist regimes in Iran and other places get their hands on nuclear weapons. That should be the focus of the policy. And also use the U.S. Air Force or the Israeli Air Force, depending which country is attacked. Use the Air Force to severely retaliate, severely and brutally retaliate anytime they dare to carry out terrorist attacks or even attempt to carry out terrorist attacks against American citizens or, in the case of Israel, against Israeli citizens. If that happens, the Air Force should be used for severe retaliation, and again, in the case of weapons of mass destruction, to completely destroy the weapons of mass destruction. That's it. No foreign aid, no troop deployments, no invasion of countries, no occupation of countries. Now, you may say, well, but you're in favor of the Israel occupying countries. Israel is not occupying foreign countries. That's Jewish land. That's Israel's land. What Israel does in Judea and Samaria, and when Israel did liberate the Sinai from Egypt, that's all Jewish land. That's part of the land of Israel. And Israel is a tiny country, desperately needs that territory to survive. If Israel gives up all the territory that she won in the 1967 Six-Day War and creates a so-called Palestinian state, which is what the Trump plan was. The Trump plan was for Israel to surrender so much territory that they'd be an independent Palestinian state. Again, even though there's no such thing as Palestine or Palestinians, a complete historic lie. And Trump and Jared Kushner and all the other traitors and scum in the Trump administration wanted Israel to do this and pressured Israel to do this. And Netanyahu wanted it also. It was part of Netanyahu's plan. That would be national suicide for Israel. Israel then would be 6 to 9 miles wide. It would be insane. The Trump plan was complete national suicide for Israel. And thank God that Donald Trump is not president and can't push that plan right now, because he was pushing hard for that plan. If he had been reelected, who knows what would have happened to Israel by now. All the insane Jews that worship Donald Trump, he was terrible for Israel. Terrible. And Benjamin Netanyahu, who was also pushing that plan. Very dangerous, terrible for Israel. Thank God that Benjamin Netanyahu is no longer prime minister. Naftali Bennett is also a disaster. And Joe Biden is certainly a disaster as president. But again, the phony right tends to be even worse than the open left. They're catastrophic. Now, we did support Ted Cruz for president because he wasn't the phony right. He was the real right. So he would have been a good president. He really would have been good for Israel. But all the sick Jews, including the sick Orthodox Jews, they all have to support Trump, and they love Trump, and they worship Trump, who again was proposing things that would have been absolutely suicidal for Israel, that could have led to another Holocaust, God forbid, for the Jews of Israel. So, once again, what we've been saying for 50 years now, since the late 60s when the JDL was formed, and Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik VeKadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, our great beloved Rabbi Kahana, ever since Rabbi Kahana formed the JDL and started the Kahana's philosophy in 1968, we've been warning this. That's more than 50 years now. We've been making these warnings, and we've been proven right over and over again. But of course, the leaders of the United States and Israel are not going to listen to JTF. We know that. But we have to nevertheless tell the truth. We have to protest. We can't be silent. And we have to create the day when we'll at least pave the road for Israeli leaders. America is not going to have good leaders, I don't think, ever. I think America is probably doomed. But Israel will have great leaders someday. Israel will eventually, the Mashiach, the Messiah, will eventually rule over Israel. And Israel will be redeemed eventually. That day will eventually come. So even in this dark generation, we've got to pave the road, because this is the end of days. This is the time before that. It could take another 20 years, another 50 years, another 100 years, another 200 years. You know, we're 220 years away from the 6,000 year point. Where there's 6,000 years on the Jewish calendar, and 6,000 years is pretty much the deadline for the coming of the Mashiach. So it could take another 200 years. Could be. God forbid. But it could also come in another 10 or 20 years, or even 5 years. Who knows? Another 5 years, the Great Awakening, because the Jews will wake up and will turn around. And great things will happen for the Jews. The United States, not optimistic. Did you see the latest census figures? United States is now only 58% white, 42% non-white. You know that it was like 85% white in the 60s and 70s. It was like 85% white. And now it's 58% white. So with that statistic and with the fact that the white population is now declining, like in Europe, more whites are dying every year than being born, and among children, the majority of children in the United States are non-white already. So the future is non-white. The future of the United States is going to be a non-white, majority third world country. And that means it's going to turn into another Brazil or Argentina or these other third world countries where whites are a minority within the country. Brazil, there's a white minority in Brazil, there's a white minority in Argentina. But you see how those countries are run and you see what happens in those countries. I don't think you'd want to live in those countries. It's pretty bad. Pretty disastrous. And unfortunately, we see a little sample of it, a little taste of it, of what happens when a non-white majority takes over, let's say, in a state like California. Let's see in the recall election next month what happens, but right now, I don't know what's going to happen in the recall election. That could temporarily turn things around for California. Let's see what happens next month. But right now, California has a majority of over 60% non-whites, California being the largest state in the United States. And it's an example of where the United States as a whole is going to be going. By the way, Texas, the second biggest state in the United States, also has a non-white majority. Texas, I think, is 53 or 54% non-white. 53-54% non-white, but the majority of voters are still white conservatives because many of the non-whites in Texas are not yet citizens or illegal aliens. So the whites are still a majority of the voters in the state of Texas. And they tend to be very conservative, the whites in Texas. So because of that, you still have a Republican governor, Republican senators. But, you know, that's going to change because we see the non-white majority, it's now already 53-54% non-white, and that's growing and growing and growing, and it's just, and the white minority is shrinking. So it looks very grim. It really does. Here's what JTF is doing. JTF is supporting the heroic Hilltop Youth. We had a program on Israel's Channel 12, which is the largest Israeli television station, for two nights in a row. There was a program last week, 20 minutes each night, where they were showing the Hilltop Youth and interviewing the people that we are directly sending money to, the people that we're directly supporting, that JTF is directly supporting, because they're the ones who are really in charge or really the leaders of the Hilltop Youth movement. And you see the heroism, you see the sacrifice, the idealism of these young people in Israel. It's just a wonderful inspiration. This is what should give us hope. This is what should give us hope when we see hundreds of young people living on hilltops. They're strategic, important hilltops, but they're surrounded by Arab, Muslim, Nazi enemies, but they're doing it to make sure that the Arabs can't take over all of these strategic spots and have a contiguous Arab population that could create a Palestinian state. They're preventing the Arabs from having a contiguous population, in other words, a continuous Arab population, connecting all the Arab population centers, which you need for a so-called Palestinian state, for an independent Arab terrorist state. And these heroic young Jews are such an inspiration. And JTF is so proud to be supporting them. And JTF, the shame though, the horror, is that JTF is the only Jewish organization in America, in Israel, anywhere in the world that is giving them money on a monthly basis, that is supporting them financially. We're the only organization doing that. No one else. There are people in Israel who claim to support them and verbally say we agree with them, they're wonderful people, they're great patriots and have wonderful religious Jews, God-fearing Jews, and praise them. There are people who praise them. There are reporters, so-called right-wing reporters, who praise them. There are members of the Knesset who go and visit them and praise them. But all of these groups that have many millions of dollars, all of them have many millions of dollars and can easily provide much greater financial support than what JTF can provide with its meager budget. they give them nothing. They only give them praise. And we want their praise and we want their support. We want that. But what a disgrace that there is no other organization or group that on a regular basis is sending them money. That we're the only group, you know, on one of the particular hilltops that was reported on in this report. We saw that they don't have water, they didn't have running water, and they didn't have electricity, and there's a baby there, a baby girl, 4-month-old baby girl, and that means that they can only take showers when they go to their parents' house, which is not easy to do. So they were taking showers once or twice a week. And with a baby, I mean, it's very difficult. That's a tremendous sacrifice. So, of course, all the self-hating Jews right away said, oh, you don't take showers? Look at this, how terrible. And we're making fun of them and laughing at that they don't take showers. They only take showers once because they couldn't. They didn't have water. They didn't have running water. Guess what? Thanks to JTF, they have running water now on that hilltop. Now they can clean their baby and take showers and cook and have running water. And that's what you're doing when you back JTF. There's nothing more important than our struggle there to prevent the land of Israel from being handed over to our enemies. We're going to do everything we can to support them and back them. It's a tough fight, but we're going to do everything we can. They're very tough people. But they're up against the whole machinery of the Israeli establishment that wants to surrender, that feels, we have no choice, we have to, always we have no choice. You're not realistic. You know, when people said there should be a Jewish state, most Jews in the Jewish establishment said that wasn't realistic, that there'd never be an independent Jewish state, that Israel would never come in, would never be resurrected, would never come into being. That's what all the realists and the pragmatists and the practical people told us. And then when Israel came into existence, Israel never survived. Look at this tiny state, the whole Arab world, they're going to attack. It's hopeless. When all the Arab armies attack, how are you going to survive? And Israel did survive and won the 1948 War of Independence, outnumbered 100-1. And in 1967, beat the whole Arab world, beat the living daylights out of the whole Arab world and Arab armies from the whole Arab world in just 6 days, quadrupling in size. So it is practical, and things can happen, even if they seem to be against the odds, even if they're difficult. They can happen when Jews are armed with faith and determination and perseverance and true Torah idealism. That's what we're doing now. We're fighting this battle. We're also, of course, we have an advertising campaign, of course. We're bringing the truth to the Israeli people on our videos. And we're supporting the greatest heroes in our generation, the Hilltop Youth. That's what JTF does, and may Hashem help us and protect us and push us forward on this, and all of you should help us in every way you can, because if we fight together as a team, we can change Jewish history. We can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.